Anda.
Vaishlach Yaakov Malachim Lefano Valisav Achiv Arta Seir Sey Adam. So Yaakov's going back home. On the way back home, he knows he's going to confront Esav. So he sends angels ahead of him to Esav Achiv. That's so funny because I know that already. Esav, I know that's Yaakov's brother. But the Torah tells me again, Esav Achiv. And then later when the angels come back, the angels come back and they tell him, we got there. We reached your brother. We reached Yaakov. We reached Esau. We reached Achiv. The Gam Holach Lekroscha. And he's coming to meet you too. Va'arba Meos Ish Imo. And he's coming with a small army. And then finally, when it's just about time that they're going to meet, Yaakov gives out the last prayer. Hatzileni no miyad ochi miyad Esav. Now it's like we have two guys here. Esav, we know, is the mortal enemy of Yaakov. But every time he refers to him, he calls him Esav, and then he repeats himself. He says Achiv, as if they're two separate people. And finally, the confrontation. Vayisa Yaakov Einov. Yaakov looks. And he sees Vihine Esav Ba, and Esav's on his way. And the battle's about to start. So he splits up the camps. He puts six sons over here, five sons over here, each with their moms. If this camp's going to die, the other camp's going to survive. And then he goes ahead and he goes and he starts bowing. He says, this guy's going to kill me. I got to do whatever I can to make this work. So he goes and he starts bowing down to Esav, one after the next. And then the biggest surprise. Vayaretz Esav lekroso. So unexpected. Esav runs to greet him. Vayechabkehu. And he gives him like this great big bear hug. And he kisses him. Vayishokehu. Vayivku. And Rashi says, everybody knows that Esav hates Yaakov, but something funny happened over here. And Nichmuru Rachamov, he became compassionate towards Yaakov, and he kissed him with his full heart. So fun, they're brothers. The first family reunion. What was he so nervous about? He keeps praying about these two separate characters, one Esav and one Achiv. So I'll tell you a story. It's probably about 6 years ago. I was in Miami for Pesach. It was about the time when guys started carrying around MP3 players, listening to music. So I thought that's a great thing. I'll download Shirim, I'll record stuff. I can listen to it while I walk. So in Miami, I asked my brother, where can I get one of these MP3 players? So my brother told me, you go down to the Apple store in Aventura Mall. So let me give you a little background about myself. At the time, I was learning yeshiva for a few years. And I was so out of it. I didn't know anything about technology, about the new gadgets. So you have to sympathize with me. When my brother told me that I could get an MP3 player at a fruit store, I couldn't say I wasn't confused. So I looked at my wife. She shrugged. I shrugged. But I had too much pride to ask. So I asked her, you know, when we go down there, I'm not going to do it. You got to be the one to ask the guy with the peaches and bananas where he's hiding the MP3 players. So we went, we got to the Aventura Mall. We walk in and we stop at the information desk. And the weirdest thing, there was two Mexican guys sitting behind the information desk. And they were yelling and fighting about something. And this guy was saying, you owe me 12 cents. He said, no, I paid you back. He said, it's 11 cents, not 12. And I paid you that back too. And you know, I was like, finally, I got their attention. The guy with the six earrings and the dyed blonde hair. So I looked at my wife, and I'm like, I wasn't going to say anything. So she said, where's the fruit store? The guy looked at her, he's like, you're in the mall, lady. Ain't no fruit store in the mall. So I looked at my wife. She picked up on it. No, I'm sorry. Where's the... Maybe just apples? You got an apple store here? So the guy nudged the guy next to him. And funny lady. Fruit store. They sell blackberries too. I didn't get the joke. I didn't know what he was talking about. He told me it's right down over there. You make a left. As I walked away from him, he yelled out, hey, buddy. You know, I'm dressed in my rabbi garb. My wife looks pretty religious. Hey, buddy. Shabbat shalom. And I hate that. I know these guys. I remember when I was in YU, used to get the Jewish kids in YU walking by the locals over there, hanging out at the street corners with their hooded sweatshirts. And when they see us walking by, all of a sudden, tzedakah, tzedakah. And they're mocking us. They pick up on our Jewish lingo. So as I walked through the mall, another vendor came over to me. Mazel tov. Hey, mazel tov, buddy. I'm getting more and more annoyed. And finally, he had like the expert. He comes over to me, my wife, and he's like ready to go. You see him warming up even with his line. L'shana haba b'Yerushalayim. So nowadays, the world is too politically correct for the old style swastikas and window smashing. They resort to a new age anti-Semitism. Smart, clever comments, cute jokes, nothing that hurts physically, just something small, subtle, to remind you you're a Jew. One of the rabbis told me in his old pitching days, never got beat down, no massacres, but as he would go to the locker room, they would throw pennies at him. Subtle, on the base paths, with their cleats, carve out swastikas. Nobody noticed. Nobody got hurt. All in good fun. And we should really appreciate the generosity and goodwill, because it's a new age phenomenon. It wasn't always like this. I'll tell you how it used to be. I remember the freezing cold. The rain was coming down in Auschwitz. We stood there with 65 Nativ guys, and me and Rav Hirshhorn, and the tour guide walked us through those famous gates. We walked forward through the railroad tracks, and when we got to the place that he told us would be our destination, he stood in front of us, and we lined up, and we approached him one by one, and he held up his finger like this. And as we got to him, he looked us up and down. To the left. To the right. To the right. To death. It was both death. One was to the gas chambers, and the other was to a living death. He had no choice. And you started to feel it a little bit. And then we marched forward till the end of the railroad tracks, and we saw where millions of your grandparents, brothers, sisters, cousins, aunts and uncles walked through to the end. And we went to a forest in a remote village in Poland. And I heard secondhand testimony from a Polish man. You see, when he was a little kid, it was one afternoon, the trucks started coming, one truck after the next. There was never so much excitement in the small town. So he ran out of his house and he hid behind the tree just to see what's going on. And he said he saw something he'll never forget. A little kid peering from behind the tree. And he saw the trucks pull up to the edge of the forest. Open holes, ready for the merchandise. Babies and Jewish infants dumped alive into their graves. Crying, screaming, no parents to be found. Thousands of them. And you go there now, and there's little candy bars and balloons, stickers, all the things they missed out in life. And they deny it happened. They make jokes. sick people. We'll take them to Chalmano. And you walk in Chalmano in the field over there, and you could pick up bones of corpses that were never buried, scattered across 5 acres of land. A bone, a fragment from a kneecap. You could see it's a toe of a pinky. You see exactly the bones of these people. Hundreds of thousands of Jews. And we excuse them. It was just the Nazis. Now, it's only the Germans. And that's the biggest lie. Because the French police, on one afternoon, gathered up 13,000 Jews, put them in a stadium called Veldhoven, for 8 days, made them sit there without food, no water, no bathrooms. Needless to say, not many survived. I'll read you an article. A historian, Jane Groth, summarized the massacre in Jedwabne, in northeastern Poland. One day in July 1941, half the population of a small East European town murdered the other half. 1,600 men, women, and children. Men and women were hacked to death with knives, iron hooks, axes. I'm sorry if I'm being disgusting. This is a true story. We're not making this up. This happened to people who were living beautiful lives. Small children were thrown with pitchforks into a bonfire. A woman's decapitated head was kicked like a football. Local townsmen turned hooligans, grabbed clubs studded with nails and other weapons, and chased the Jews into the streets. This is our heritage. It's been going on for a long time. They shoved the remaining hundreds of Jews into a barn, doused it with kerosene, and set it ablaze. And these beautiful, beautiful non-Jews, with hearts of gold, some on the outside, played musical instruments to drown out the victims' cries. And a new film brings that message forcefully to the screen. The film star has already received death threats, and in several online forums, there were comments with the worst insult you can say to her. You're no longer a Polish person. The worst insult you could say. You're a Jew. And how do we respond? So a Jew sat in a cattle car on the way to Treblinka, wondering where his wife and kids were, and all he could hear was the thump of the train. Bum, 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 and on again. And he couldn't get it out of his head. So this Jew sat there in the cattle car and he composed a song. Ani mamin, ani mamin. I still believe. Bemuna, I still believe with full faith that we're going to get out somehow. Because this is the story of our history. It's the story of our lives. So we Jews, we're used to this. We compose songs. And we sing together. Shelo yechod bilvad. Omar Oleinu v'chaloiseinu. Not just one person. It's not just Hitler. It's been going on from the Crusades. When these Romans took Rabbi Akiva and they burnt off his skin with iron tongs. They took Rabbi Shmuel and they peeled off his face so the princess can look at his beauty. To the Spanish Inquisition. To these sick, disgusting filths that we shouldn't mention their names out loud. It's been going on forever. So we sing about it. Because we know it's eventually going to end. And this past Sunday was the 75th anniversary of Kristallnacht. And nobody knows why it's called that. It's such a funny name, Kristallnacht. Somebody told me last year, it's called Kristallnacht because on that night, on that day, it became crystal clear what they think about us and what they want to happen to us. And the Holocaust was just the finale. It ended in 1945. At that point, they realized Mark Twain's famous words, "The Jews will never die." After drawing up the final solution that ultimately failed, Esav and the nations that originate from him, a light bulb went off. He realized something that took him so long to figure out. He had the ultimate epiphany. And it went like this. So a guy walking in a field with a heavy coat, and the sun and the wind looked down on him, and they made a bet. Who could make the guy take off his coat? So the sun said to the wind, "You go first. Let's see what you could do." So the wind started blowing, howling at the guy. And 30 mile per hour winds. He upped the ante to 40 and then 50. And as it got more and more windy, the guy held his coat tighter and tighter. 70 miles an hour, he turned around against the wind. He's not going to let it go. If I let go of my coat, I won't be able to survive. So what's keeping me alive? 80 miles an hour, 90, he wouldn't let go. The wind said, "I give up." He said, "The sun, it's your turn now." Sun came out with a smile. Shined its beautiful rays. Temperature starts going up. 60 degrees, 75. Didn't have to hit 80. Took it off. "I don't need this anymore. I don't need my coat to survive." So Esav wised up. And he had epiphany. "I give you the new and improved final solution." He reintroduces himself. "Hello, my name is Esav. I'm not your enemy. Not only can we be friends, I'm going to be your brother." Summer after Shana Aleph, most of my friends went to Hask. Some things never change. I was working for an architect in the city. My dad got me the job. Now, I don't know if I was the only Jew there, but I was definitely the only Jew with the yarmulke. But I had my guard on. Because after Shana Aleph, there's only so many times you could hear Rav Bina say, "The guys are going to marry out," till you get nervous. You get worried. So I was going to keep my distance. And I knew, after all I heard, that they probably hate me anyway, so they would keep theirs. And on the first day, Chris walks up to me. "Hey, Ben, nice to meet you. Heard you joining the team. Looking forward to get to know you." And Mark came over to me. "You're the new guy? Oh, maybe we should sit down and talk. We could go out to lunch." And then Jaron. You know, the first sign of anti-Semitism, Jaron comes over to me. "What's up, my man?" And then I thought, Jaron was not the brightest guy. It must be by accident he wanted to say the K word. He couldn't remember it. He threw in the N word. And I felt like attacked. But it was only in my head. After a few days, I realized Jaron calls everybody the N word. It wasn't just me. The whole summer, I'm waiting for something. Anything. Holocaust joke. Cheap Jew. Make fun of my nose. Something. But it never came. Nobody accused me of murdering a baby to have blood for my matzahs. Nothing. And they were actually very accommodating. Jaron, he started the Jewish pride. Jaron told them, "After Ben says mizonos, we all say amen." So that's how it was. I would say mizonos, and then all of them, amen. And shahako, and we benched together, we said grace. They were super accommodating. And Jaron every day at 2 p.m. would remind me, "Hey Ben, time for mincha, get to the afternoon prayers." And he was pushing me. He was giving me that push that I needed to keep strong. And I realized something. It's all a lie. I was lied to. These people are nice, genuine, caring, sincere. All the propaganda I heard, it's not true. We really could be friends. And I know you got to keep boundaries. So Chazal set that up for us. They made a halacha, bishul akum. You can't eat food that was cooked by a guy. Why not? So you're not going to end up marrying his daughter. So fine, I'll keep bishul akum. I'll be okay. And anyways, who's going to Dave's Pizza and marrying the Puerto Rican guy behind the counter's daughter anyway? So I wasn't nervous about that. I'll be able to work it out. See, things have changed. And times are different. It used to be when they threw Christmas parties, the priest would take them all to church, get them riled up. These Jews killed Jesus, and they would come out with their hacksaws and their knives and their axes. But today, we get invited to the Christmas parties. Today we throw the Christmas parties. And Esav laughs as the final solution progresses. I'm not your enemy. I'm your brother. So I had a friend in Binghamton. He was great. He kept Shabbos. He kept kosher. He learned every single night while he was in college. He told me one day that he met a girl. They're going out for a while. I was so happy for him. She's smart, funny, sweet, great sense of humor, great family. I'm like, that's awesome. You have a picture? Something like I could see? So he says, yeah, sure. He pulled out his wallet. He showed me a picture. I said, you're kidding. And he said, no, what? I said, no, you're kidding me. He said, what's... I said, she's Chinese, man. You're going out with a Chinese girl? He said, Ben, excuse me, she's Japanese. I said, I don't care if she's made in Taiwan. She's Asian. You're going out with an Asian girl? And he says, Ben, come on, you know me so long. You know I'm into that thing. I was always into the Asian girls. You went to Israel. He said, I went to Rashid. You wear your tits out. He says, yeah, she's so into the blue. She loves the blue string. But it doesn't make anyone nervous. It's not going to happen to me. Because even though 71% of Jews are intermarried today, but that's in a non-Orthodox world. I'm an Orthodox Jew. I'm not going to intermarry. My parents would kill me. I would never be allowed back in my community. That's so far away from who I am. Stats don't scare me. So we let Esav laugh. He can't touch me. Because that's all it takes. Because when Yaakov fought the angel of Esav, Vayiga Bekaf Yerecho, he just touched him. And Yaakov walked off limping. And that's all it takes. Just a touch. That's the real Shomer Negiah. When Esav touches you, you'll see you walk off limping. Years ago, if you were the kind of guy who listened to Wiz Khalifa and Lil Wayne, so there was a store, an outlet called FUBU. That's where you got your clothes. So I had a friend who used to shop at FUBU. One day his dad took him to the outlet. And he walks in there, he's looking around, he got his jeans, he got the sweatshirt, he got all his gear. His dad gets a little uncomfortable in the store. He looks at him, he says, Jason, do you notice that we're the only two white guys in here? And Jason looks up at his dad, he says, correction, you're the only white guy in here. And on sports day, we walk around with these jerseys, James, and Durant, Bryant, and I'll be honest, I don't know everybody's names, but I would sure be surprised if guys around here, their real names are Anthony, Rondo, and Meta World Peace. It's a little hard to believe, but these are our role models. We have these headphones we walk around with, feasting on our iTunes, literally. For the appetizer, you turn on your Red Hot Chili Peppers, side dish, you got your black eyed peas. And the main dish is none other than fish. You want to stick around for dessert, you can have some M&M. And this is what we look up to. We listen to this. We dream to live like them, to emulate them, to walk and talk and dance like them. You know, we're not like those Hasidim at Disney World with the long payas and the beard, they put on a hat, and they're like, yeah, but we're Christian, you know? Nobody will know better. No, you guys could pull it off. And nobody will know better. But nobody's bothered. I could live like that. I'll still retain my Jewish identity. I could live that life. I'll still keep mitzvahs like a Jew. And Esav laughs. Because he touched you. and the final solution progresses. It was senior year, winter break. Most of the guys went to Cancun. Now don't judge me. The flappish guys here, I hope, understand a little better. Not all of us were with it religiously. So we got down to Cancun. We're sitting on the beach one day, enjoying the weather, friends, Jay-Z playing in the background. All of a sudden, it starts to get dark. And there was one kid with us. He was that kid. There's always that kid. He was that kid that at the seventh inning stretch went to Daven Mincha. He was that kid that walked out of prom for 10 minutes to Daven Maariv. So that kid, as it starts getting dark on that day, he says, guys, we've got to go back to the room. And then we realize, you know, what's up his sleeve? And today was Shabbos. He's probably the only kid in Cancun who ever kept Shabbos. He says, we got to go back to the room. We're sitting here, we're enjoying the weather, we're enjoying Jay-Z. Come on. Why you got to spoil the fun? He says, no. We'll do it Jay-Z style. So we get back to the room. And we don't know what's going to happen. And then all of a sudden, he chants. And he takes a glass cup from the hotel and he fills it to the top with Corona and he's holding it like this. And then he gives two cigarettes, lights them up, gives it to the other guy to hold like that. And he's standing there with the Corona and the other guy with the two cigarettes. And I know everybody's kasha. But you don't have to worry, because there was besomim over the whole room. And like he said, we had Havdalah, Jay-Z style. And you wonder, all those 6 million, that's what they intended? They intended to die like a Jew, so we could live like a guy? That's what they wanted to happen? At Nicolet High School in Glendale, Wisconsin, they boast 350 Jewish kids who don't know what Shabbos is. In Sharon High School in Massachusetts, 650 kids who never saw tefillin. And in your own backyard, Hewlett Woodmere Academy and Hewlett High School is overflowing with Jewish neshamas that don't know anything. And Esav laughs, and the Holocaust continues. And the final solution progresses. And there's only 10% left. You're the final 10%. The last stronghold of Jews who claim to observe Judaism. So we're okay. That's the other 90. Doesn't affect us. Doesn't speak to us. He hasn't killed us yet. You know, and I'm a survivor, but in the background, I can't help but hear it. I hear subtle, soft, but constantly getting louder. You hear the laugh, the evil, devilish, ha 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 ha. And Asaph's waiting, watching, looking, touching, and changing. Because 18-year-old Jews, you know, all the stats of the last 10 years of the football seasons. You know, all the lines of every single scene in The Hangover. Some of you guys are too embarrassed to admit it, but you know every word of the lyrics of Call Me Maybe. You know all the Justin Bieber songs for the last 5 years. And we know when you pull up your windows in your car, that's what you're listening to. You don't have to hide it. And the talented among you spend hours in front of the mirror, 10,000 of them, practicing your moves for Gangnam Style. You can show off to your friends. And then the savvy, the techies, you edited and re-edited and re-edited those Harlem Shake videos before you uploaded them to YouTube. And we don't think it affects us. It doesn't change us one bit. Because after all is said and done, we always return to our Jewish families. Don't we? We always come home. So I'm not sure. Because the way I understand, some of you guys spent more quality time with Family Guy and Seasons of Modern Family. Some of you guys spent more time with How I Met Your Mother than with the warmth and wisdom of your own Jewish mothers. Grown Ups 2 and Step Brother, that became your family. The people who taught you what life's all about, who impressed upon you morals, who taught you ideas and philosophies. And then you get to your iPhone and you use them to access Amsterdam and Vegas and all the pleasures they have to offer. Philosophies and opinions you have are all engrossed from the blogs and articles that you read. And some of you still have the audacity to come here and claim that we brainwash you. And I wish that could be true. But after 18 years, it's too late. Because you're too brainwashed already. Your minds and hearts are filled to capacity with all their philosophies, ideas, and beliefs. All their anti-religious propaganda, that when you say, I have doubts about God, I don't know if I should be learning this book, I don't know how I should behave in this religion. That's not you. That's called brainwash. And the brainwash that could happen here in a few short weeks, a couple of months, that can't overwhelm 18 years. You take a look. The kippahs go off so easily. Some of you guys refuse to wear tzitzis. Disregard tefillin. Keep half Shabbos at best. I don't even want to talk about how guys don't know how to learn a Mishnah, to translate a pasuk in the Chumash. I met an old Jew from Lublin. He told me when he was 11 years old, to get into yeshiva, he memorized Chulin, Gemara, Rashi, Tosfos by heart. And I told him, I give shiur in yeshiva. My guys can't translate a pasuk. Where's the Holocaust? Which Jews died? Which Jews are living? And this is the last 10%. And Esav laughs. I did a job well done. Almost completely and utterly destroyed. You know, I finally got to that Apple store. And it was real bright. In my eye, I caught a glimmer, a twinkle of a star. I looked at the salesman in the store, and around his neck was the glimmer of that twinkle, of that star, of David. And then it hit me. All the vendors, the two guys at the information desk, the salesman, they're not Mexican. They were fighting over 12 cents. They did have crooked noses. These guys were Jews. They were telling me Shabbat Shalom and Lashon HaBa B'Yerushalayim. And I thought they were mocking me. They were Jews holding on to the last thread. And I'm curious if we're any different. How different we are. Now, I wouldn't be discouraged because Mark Twain taught us that the Jews will never die. Now, I'll read you a line. At the gates of Auschwitz, Rav Noach Weinberg stood with a group of Jews, and he said to them, "We're not serious. We, us Jews, no, we're not serious. They, those Nazis, they're serious. They work day and night, hours, days, months, years, took advantage of every minute to make sure that every Jew will die, to make sure they're operating at full efficiency. Just as the Nazis were motivated to destroy the Jewish people, the only way to bring it back is if you're motivated to build it up just as strong." One of the final years, a Rebbe walked out of his town in Poland, followed by his followers. And they got finally to the forest where they had to dig their own graves. And he stood there with his hundreds or thousands of people. And he turned around to them. And he said, "Not like Rabbi Akiva that ended it with Shema. No, today we do it differently. Because today is the first day of your lives that you come to a certain recognition, a clarity. And today, we're going to do it like this." And he closed his eyes and he told everybody to repeat after him. And it was the morning. And he said, right before he was shot, two bullets in the head and pushed into the grave, Baruch atah Hashem, with more kavana he ever had in his life, Elokeinu melech ha'olam shelo asani goy. That, yeah, I'm different. And I'm proud to be different. And I want to be different. And I don't want to emulate them. I don't want to be forced into their opinions and their philosophies and their lifestyles. We should all have a bracha. If we don't up the ante, we're going to lose all our chips. It's the last 10%. And they're dwindling. It's the real Holocaust. It's much more than 6 million. It's every day. Millions of Jews in Israel never heard Shema Yisrael. And they're dying out. And you think you can walk that walk too. We should have a bracha. We should understand what it means, Shelo Asani Goy. We should understand what it means to be a Jew. And we should chase and chase and chase as fast as we can. Have a good Shabbos.